Good morning, everyone. It's 9 a.m. on Thursday, September 25th. This is the date and time noticed for the public meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. As is required by law, we set aside some time for public comment. Are there any members of the public that wish to comment this morning? I will note that we have one member of the public with us, our designated new chair, who will be sworn in on Monday, Senator John Valentine. So we welcome you to the meeting.
Thank you.
Seeing no public comment, move on to the minutes.
I'd move to approve the minutes of the open and closed meetings held on August 28th, 2014.
Any discussion to that motion? Commissioner Dixon?
No, I don't have any discussion. Thank you.
Just arranging your
microphone. Just arranging the microphone.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those minutes are approved. The next item is budget requests. And at this point, I'd like to turn the time over to Julie Alsop, our budget director. Oh, is Scott going to present it? I apologize.
Okay.
We'll let Scott try it, but we know he'll need you pretty soon.
Thank you for your vote of confidence, Bruce. Yes, but I start off with I would like to recognize Julie Alsop, our budget and planning director for the Tax Commission, and thank her for all her work in putting our budget together. What I would like to do, and the next item on the agenda is to go over the proposed fee increases. So I'll skip that for this part. The first item on our budget, or change to our last year's budget, is to move some money from savings that we have in efficiencies in some of the divisions, and use that money to purchase a new fraud detection system. This is one of the things that we really stress here at the Tax Commission is not only protecting the revenues of the state, but also the personal identities of taxpayers within the state. And this fraud detection system will help us in that area. The next items go hand in hand. This is a request to spend some of our non-lapsing funds, and most of these are required because of security upgrades or security concerns. So as I go through these, we're completing our imaging and data lift technology, and that was required because our old imaging functions were no longer, the software we're using is no longer maintained, and so we have a security issue there. The same with check processing. We're purchasing some new scanners to scan in the checks. Along with this is we're getting away from paper and going into electronic cash letter, and so the checks will be electronically sent to the banks, and so we won't be handling all those paper checks in the future. Property tax system, some of our systems there use software that no longer is going to be maintained again, so the security is not going to be there. So one of our property tax system uses Lotus 123, and so we know how old that is. So we know we have a security issue there. So, the next one on here is to upgrade our telephone systems. I was talking to Steve Coons from DTS, and he mentioned that we have the second oldest telephone system in the state. And so this is really a DTS initiative, is to go to VoIP, and so that's the next item there. Our high-speed printer is old, and it's costing us more to maintain than it would to purchase a new printer, so we'd like to spend to purchase that. And then just security contingencies. We know with the We've heard recently with the Home Depot breach and the Target breach, it's we're always trying to upgrade our security, and then there's just for some firewalls and IVR upgrades, we're allocating some money to do to make sure that we're as secure as possible. The next item is changes to our budget. What we're seeing is we're having more and more people in the motor vehicle arena use credit cards, and so we're asking for a supplemental budget increase to help offset those costs. That for motor vehicles, the state pays the merchant fee on credit cards, and so that's what this does, is to help offset any costs associated with being able to take credit cards. The next item is a new Fed joint federal-state fraud detection program that Utah is participating in. So we have a cost there to be part of that program. The next item is just our ongoing federal oil and gas audit contract. We audit on behalf of the federal government, so this is just a grant to pay the our costs that are associated with performing federal work. And then the last item here is the alcohol beverage enforcement restricted fund, and where I guess the state, the tax commission does such a good job of distributing funds that the money comes into our budget, and then we allocate it out to the different law enforcement agencies to pay for that a program that they use there. And this $5,500 is just a true up at the end of the year that we're required to do. Beer sales or alcohol beverage sales were flat for the year, so the true up is only $5,500 this year. The next item is proposals. Number we're asking for approval from the legislature to use non-lapsing funds for future modernization, and this is something we've asked for, and we use this money as again in that previous area to for modernization and to make sure that our systems are all secure. We have the latest and modernization for our systems. And then the next item is new. It's this to set up a restricted account. The temporary fee permits is what we use to fund our motor vehicle enforcement division. And this will be able to kind of smooth out the fees there, so we're not asking, you know, we're not raising the fee and then lowering the fee and then raising the fee. This will, having a restricted account will allow us to better smooth out that and be, I think, beneficial for the industry. And then the last item is that we are not asking for any additional appropriations, so our budget, our base budget, will remain the same as last year.
Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Smith on this portion of the budget?
I do have some.
Okay, Commissioner Cragen?
On the Form 2000 requests, we talked about efficiencies in the divisions, $350,000 in payroll savings. I presume that that's an ongoing savings. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, but then is the fraud detection system, is that an ongoing expense, or will that just be a one-time expense in the next fiscal year?
It is an ongoing expense.
It's an ongoing.
That's our maintenance fee for that.
Okay. And then as we look at the Form 400 items, as I understand it, item A and item D, we're talking about appropriations from restricted accounts. In other words, the money's already there. It just needs to be appropriated so that it can be spent. It's not. We're not asking for new money. Is that correct?
That's correct. So a portion of on A, a portion of every registration goes into this restricted accounts, and then we need to request that money be taken out of that restricted account and put into our budget.
Into our budget. And then on B and C, that's federal funding that's already coming to this state, and it's just we're asking the legislature to authorize us to spend it.
Yes, C is ongoing. B is a new program.
New. Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, any other questions?
Yes, I've got it. Just a clarification on the Form 3000 request to spend non-lapsing funds. Again, these are funds that have essentially been carried over from past years for tax commission modernization. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So, again, as with the Form 4000, we're not asking for any additional money. This is money that's been previously appropriated for tax commission modernization, and we've been allowed to carry it forward by the legislature.
That's correct.
And then the intent in 5A is just to allow us to carry forward whatever's left after these itemized expenses are made.
In addition to any savings that we have in the current year, yes.
Okay. Then on, just wanted to clarify on item 3C, the property tax replacement system, that's also going to be incorporated to some extent right in our Gentax system. Is that correct?
That's correct. It'll actually be part of our tax system, so it's not a new system. It'll just be we're just adding additional taxes to our current system.
And so the expenses that we have in the future to maintain that system will also benefit the property tax system, and that will result in future savings.
Efficiency savings. And what it really does is right now our current property tax system, we have one DTS employee who created it. If that employee were to leave, then we would be in hurting going to the and having it be part of our tax system than any of our technology service programmers could help us there.
Okay. And then on 3D, just to clarify, that wiring and everything for voice over internet protocol is a statewide initiative that we're essentially required to do because they're moving that way statewide.
That's correct.
Okay. Commissioner Dixon?
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to make a motion, but I don't want to do so unless you've concluded that there's no more questions.
Yep. Any other questions?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would propose that a motion just for the fee increases. It can be noted that there may be more interest in the public commenting on the fee increases and more questions about that. So if we maybe do that as a separate motion and it's set up separately, maybe that would facilitate that. So I would move that the Form 1000 fee change proposals be approved by the commission to be forwarded to the governor's office.
Okay, Scott really hasn't gone over those yet because they were. So let's.
Should I move on to the other ones, Dan?
Let's hold that motion.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, and let's have Scott go ahead and describe the fee change proposals, because I would like to approve the fee change proposals before we go on and approve the overall budget.
Okay. I'll do there's three proposed fee increases. The first one is our motor vehicle transaction fee. This is the standard unit fee that we use to charge the county when we do work for the county, or the county charges us when they do work for the state, or when the counties do work for other counties. This is the fee that's associated with that. And so we're raising that from $1.47 to $1.49. So there'll be a 2-cent increase in that standard unit fee. The next one is that we have been undercharging on plate mailing. When someone orders a custom plate or a special group plate, we pass through the charge to mail that out to the customer. Again, we were undercharging, so we're raising that from $2.20 to $4. We also had with the, in addition to the postage itself, the Postal Service is requiring us to use a different type of envelope. The envelopes that we were using were, they were ripping, and so they had some problems with that, so we have a new type of envelope we have to use there that's a little more expensive. And the last one is the, in order, the UCI, the prison, the amount they charge us to print the, or make the plates is going up. And so for the special group plates, so what happens here is you pay the standard plate fee, and then to get a special group plate, you pay an additional amount on top of the standard fee. So this additional fee is going from $2.92 to $3.50 per set. So it's $1.75 per plate.
Okay, any questions on the fee proposals? So that the net effect of that, though, is that for someone who's asking for a separate fee there, a special group plate, their cost is going to go up from a little over $5 to $7.50.
That's correct.
Okay. And we haven't received any comments.
Can I just clarify that? Part of that fee,
Julian,
is it live? Okay. The plate mailing charge is charged directly to the vehicle owner. The extra plate cost is charged to the organization when they order the plates. So the public will not directly pay that additional fee. The sponsoring group pays that fee.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Just a comment on these fee changes. The legislature will be implementing any changes in the fees. So all we're doing is authorizing the agency to submit these to the legislature, and then the legislature will hold the public hearings on whether or not to change the fees.
Okay. So we don't have to have, well, we noticed them up anyway, but so we didn't theoretically have to have a public hearing to.
No, we don't have to hold a public hearing because we're not making the fee change, but the commission has to authorize the executive director to send these requests to the governor's office.
And we have to do that in a public meeting anyway.
Okay. Correct.
Well, appreciate that clarification. All right, Commissioner Dixon, then, for your motion.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I did not mean to get ahead of you on that. Okay, so again, my motion is that we do a separate motion on these fee increases, and I move that the Form 1000 fee change proposals be approved to be sent to the governor's office.
Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure, my next motion would be to include, that was item one on all of our, on our two-page sheet. My next motion would be to include 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I'm just looking to see up front if there's any concern about that. Okay. So my motion would be to send to approve the remaining items to be sent to the governor's office for consideration in his budget, and those include the reallocation of existing budgets, the spending of non-lapsing funds, the incremental budget change request, intent statement, and the and what we understand to be the base budget. Okay.
Thank you. Any discussion of that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question for our budget director. I did notice that we had a updated base budget amount, and I was wondering if what that did to change the overall budget for the tax commission with the federal funds, the dedicated credits, and the non-lapsing balances. Do you have a...
Yes. So the state funds number that was on the first handout that you saw was just our operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
So we've added to that the amounts of state funds that go for the liquor distribution as well as rural hospital distribution that's within our budget. And so the first number just didn't include all funds.
But what is the, it used to be that our budget was about a total of $82 million.
Yes.
Do you know with...
So it is now, for fiscal year 15, it's $89 million.
Okay, thank you. And that's including the base budget, the federal funds, the dedicated credits, and the non-lapsing balances.
Exactly.
Okay, thank
Correct.
You very much.
Hey, thank you. And thank you, Scott. And I'd like to second your comments on the invaluable work that Julie does for us in preparing this budget and seeing it safely through the process.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right. Item 6, Executive Director's Report. And I think I failed to... Did I even say who was here today?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Did I say who was here today?
I don't think so, but that's
that.
Okay.
I got so excited about Senator Valentine that I failed to identify the people on the dais here. I'm Commissioner Bruce Johnson. Also with me is Commissioner Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Pirro, and sitting in for our executive director, Mary Conover, is his deputy, Scott Smith. Our executive assistant, Krista Johnson, is taking the minutes. And sorry for that omission, but now that you've been properly introduced, Scott, would you like to do the executive director's report?
I would. Thanks, Bruce. So as we discussed in our budget proposal, the tax commission is purchasing a new tool to help in identifying potential fraud. And again, the purpose of this is twofold, not only to protect the revenues of the state, but also to protect identity fraud and theft of individuals' personal identities. So what this means and how this will impact the citizens of Utah is that when a return is sent into the commission, it'll go through some edits. And depending on those edits, if there is a high likelihood of identity fraud, then that return will be flagged. And a letter will be sent to the taxpayer informing them that they need to go out onto our internet site, into a taxpayer access portal, and complete a fraud quiz. Now the quiz is really pretty simple. It'll be four questions. Those four questions will change. It's a random type thing, but it might ask, for example, which of these following address would be associated with you, or it might ask what was your AGI last year. Things that the individual should know. It will be timed. I think they'll have right now it's about 3 minutes to fill out the quiz. And they'll have two opportunities. If they fail it the first time, they can retake the quiz. If they fail it both times, then they will need to contact the tax commission, and they can still send in documents proving their identity. But the refund, and this is only on refund returns, the refund will be held until they pass the quiz or until they've sent in the documents verifying who they are. Now, those people, we know there's some individuals out there that don't like to use the internet, so there'll be an option that they can call in and take the quiz over the phone if they so desire. But we think that will, there's a couple states that are already doing this, and they're finding large success. Mississippi and Wisconsin have already implemented this. So we're trying to get the word out to all of the tax practitioners and the public to let them know that this is, if you get a letter instructing you to go and take this this quiz, that is a legitimate request. A couple other things, just housekeeping. Our carpet, we're about 5 days ahead of schedule on our carpet. Everything is going well. To my knowledge, there hasn't been any complaints from any of the workers here about the carpet and how it's going. So, and I think it looks really good. So appreciate all of the employees here at the Tax Commission. I know it's impacted them, and they've had to take some minutes and clean up their cubicle area so that we could install the carpets. And the last thing, Charlie, was just indicating that the Tax Commission took second place in the Work Well Challenge. I think Commissioner Thoreau is the head of that for our agency, so we congratulate him on their work there and the committee that's put this together. But I think that's good, and I've heard some positive comments from employees, with the signs around here, take the stairs, different things that we should be doing to help out our physical fitness and physical well-being.
Thank you. Any questions for Scott? I do have a comment. I would bet there's not more than a half a dozen taxpayers in the state that would be able to come up with last year's AGI in 3 minutes. You might give that some thought. They may have their tax return in front of them because they are using it as a guide for this year, but I might think about that one. I understand it's a good test, but they're not going to be able to find it in 3 minutes.
Are those questions generated from our data, or are they generated from a third party's data?
Some of the questions are generated from data we have here at the Tax Commission, but others is from a third party. Thomson Reuters is the software that we're using.
Because I've encountered this in my banking, online banking. It'll ask a series of questions, and you have to go through and identify an address that you lived at one time, and it gives you one that's right and three that are wrong. And so that part, I think, works, but a number like AGI, I think I could get it in 3 minutes if I'm sitting at the right computer. So.
We'll take that and make sure that we don't cause everybody to flunk, because that's, obviously that would create more work for us if everybody is not able to pass the test.
Mr. Chairman, just a question then.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith, then I just wanted to clarify, is it in the letter what they have to have available to answer the quiz?
No.
Then I would third that, because having had that experience with someone in my family, just in calling into the technical research unit on the phone and the agent asking, do you have your FAGI, and just having to hang up and then say, now I got to go find that, just in trying to get some help on that. You just don't know to kind of have that with you. So I just from a personal experience. So
appreciate the comments and the feedback.
Yeah, certainly anything that goes out in the mail. For those people that don't want to work online, that would be a great question. Okay. Thank you for that report, and thank you for all your work. Now's the time on the agenda for commissioners' reports. Do any commissioners have anything they'd like to report?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Okay, thank you very much. Well, I do want to acknowledge that this is your last, I guess, kind of official function as a commissioner and commission chair. This will be your last, at the very least, public meeting. And first of all, I want to say that it was kind of fortuitous that we could do it in here. It's kind of fun. In that, if I'm not incorrect, before you joined the commission, you practiced in front of the Tax Commission. I was wondering if by any chance you actually ever appeared in this room?
Many times.
There we go. So it's kind of fun, that kind of an interesting circle in your career to have been on that side and now finishing on this side. That's
actually more fun on this side.
Yeah, I was going to say. just a fun circle of life observation. The other thing that's nice about being in this room is that it's had its own type of makeover, and there's a lot that's now concluded about this, and it's nice that we could be here as this sitting commission to enjoy it together. Just for the record, we had broken blinds on the windows, and at this hour of the day, we would sit up here and the sun would be in our eyes. It was difficult. We have these nice, beautiful blinds that also have a blackout. So if we have a presentation, we have a new dais that gives us more room to spread out for books and papers and electronics, whatever we need. We have working screens up here. And if you recall, Mr. Chairman, that came about because we were involved in a very intense 5-day hearing, 100+ exhibits. We were all trying to look at them, and we were down to one working screen, and we just could not get anything to work. And now we've just got some really excellent electronics that help us look at the exhibits at the same time that the parties and those testifying are looking at it. It's a much more efficient system on that. And I want to recognize that our executive assistant is here today, and she had such a part of that, Krista Johnson, in making sure that everything was just done to an exceptional quality, as did Tiffany Harms. And also with our new smart board here, which allows exhibits to be put up in a larger form. Everyone in the audience can see them at the same time. Chris has done a lot of training on that with a lot of parties who have been interested in doing that. And it's just, it's nice to be in this very nice room after all that work on it. So I want to acknowledge her for that. And I wanted to just for a minute, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I don't have a proclamation and I have no authority to do this, but I'm just going to name today, Thursday, and I'm looking for my agenda so I can get exactly the correct date on this. I put it away because we were done.
September 25th.
There we go. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thursday, September 25th, Bruce Johnson Day here at the Commission. And I just wanted to kind of hope that there'll be unexpected moments of people stopping in the hallway and thanking you and talking to you. And we have our reception honoring you this afternoon from 3 to 5. And I think that will be very enjoyable, and I hope a lot of people can attend that. But I did want to take a minute to just recapitulate a few items. I note that in the 16 years that you've served as a commissioner here, you had a role in crafting and implementing streamlined sales tax legislation for Utah. On the federal level, you're recognized as an expert in this area with numerous organizations on the national scene. You'd had a leading role in governor's work on public comment on the tax system, and several reports that came out on how to improve our tax system. I know you've had guidance on the Multi-State Tax Commission and helped that organization achieve its mission of cooperation on fairness, simplicity, and consistency in tax administration. And just known for your knowledge of state taxation and taxation on very much on the national scene. And the numerous organizations you've been involved with, the Federation of Tax Administrators, Multi-State Tax Commission, National Streamlined Sales Tax, National Tax Association, Committee on State and Local Taxes, the American Bar Association, the American College of Tax Counsels, the Western States Association of Tax Administrators, and that's probably just to name a few. But the one thing I would note as someone who served with you is that after all of that, what you were really most concerned about was just good quality service, just trying to make it a good experience for the taxpayer when they came for a hearing at the Tax Commission. And that probably came from your own experiences of having practiced in this room trying to represent taxpayers and just making sure that they have an fair and efficient hearing. And so I wanted to just conclude by providing some information on a project that we've been working on to try and assure that we're always looking for ways to make it a good experience for the taxpayer. And one of those has to do with our locally assessed property tax appeals. And it was our observation in our locally assessed property tax appeals that we acknowledged that taxpayers wanted conclusions of their appeals as soon as possible on if they went to the Board of Equalization and then they didn't agree with the local Board of Equalization decision, and so it was appealed up to us, and that can be a residential property or a commercial property. And most of the requests for redetermination from the Board of Equalization came in November to the end of January. And we were highly aware that we, as a commission, were not able to conclude our review and appeals process of those appeals before the next valuation came out for the next lien date and the next BOE hearings had concluded. And this was an incredibly frustrating experience for taxpayers. It was frustrating for us. Many times the Board of Equalization would be waiting for a decision from the commission to see if it had any weight on the next year's decision. And so we were looking for ways that we could effectuate that. And one of the ideas that I brought to my fellow commissioners was we've had mediations been done by administrative law judges, but what about us as commissioners stepping up and doing mediations? And what are the benefits of a mediation over a hearing? And so there was an agreement, let's see what we can do to encourage the counties to look at mediation. How can we get more information to the taxpayers to encourage mediation and explain the process of it? And so beginning in January 2013, we as commissioners had some in-house training with one of our administrative law judges on mediation. On behalf of all of us as commissioners, sent out information to the counties, particularly to the assessors, asking them to take a look at it. Every opportunity we had, we talked to the assessors about it, went to their meetings. In December, the assessors come here for training from our property tax division, and we meet with them for about an hour and answer questions. Every December, we went in and gave information about those mediations. And then we made some other decisions about that. And I think after a year and a half, we now have some information about where this has led us. And if I could, I just want to talk a little bit about when you're trying to measure something, you either have to have a widget or you have to understand that part of it's your measurement's going to be subjective. And years ago, under an initiative by Governor Huntsman that was continued by Governor Herbert and for a while, and that was the balanced scorecard, we developed measurements. And one of those measures was number of days from receipt of the locally assessed property tax appeal to the first commission event. And then the second measurement was number of days from the first hearing event for a locally assessed property appeal to the issuance of the initial hearing decision. And so we've been following those all along. And so one of the items with mediation that you really can't measure very well, and with the writing of the decisions, is the quality of that. And we hope to have a quality decision when we write it and issue it. But the benefit of mediation is that there's a different quality outcome. In mediation, there's an opportunity for both parties to listen to each other. No decision is made without the parties agreeing to it. Whereas in an initial hearing, the parties present evidence. There's really no dialogue to determine a correct misunderstandings. Whereas in mediation, the parties have an opportunity to understand, oh, I didn't understand what you were trying to tell me, assessor or taxpayer. And finally, mediation can save time and resources for the county and the parties involved. For mediation, the county doesn't necessarily have to prepare an appraisal or spend time delivering materials 10 days in advance. They can come and create a dialogue on that. So there's a quality outcome that comes of that. So because of all of our efforts, we had a lot more counties step up and say, yes, I'd like to try mediation. And I just want to go through and give you some kind of baseline. I've been trying to kind of baseline where has this taken us at this point. So here are just, I'm not trying to hold them out there as these firm statistics, but just some observations as I'm trying to put together some baselines on that. In terms of the first measurement we had, number of days from receipt of locally assessed property tax appeal to the first hearing event, we were running about 209 days plus between the receipt of that appeal to when we did the first event, which was usually a hearing. But what we did last year is we did telephone status conferences. We got the assessor and the taxpayer on the phone, and we talked to them about mediation and would you be willing to do that. So the first event was to get the parties talking. And because of the TSTAT, a lot of parties started to talk and actually settle their own appeal. They actually talked and met and settled it. So that was a good process, even though it took time to do that, send the notices out for the TSTATs and to do those TSTATs. There were settlements from that. But we went from about 209 days to the first hearing event to sometimes only 1 to 2 months to the first hearing event, which was the TSTAT. And so right there, that's 30% reduction in time, at least, from the first hearing event, from the receipt to the first hearing event. And I think there was a quality outcome from that because there wasn't too much time that lapsed from the Board of Equalization hearing to when they started talking again or hearing from the Tax Commission. The next item that I would note is that usually all of the appeals are set for hearings. And one of the items, Mr. Chairman, I didn't do up front because I'm trying to do all these numbers here, is I'm only talking about those appeals of rural hearings. Those where we as commissioners go out to the rural counties and conduct appeals. And so I'm not talking about appeals for Davis County, Salt Lake County, Utah County, or Weber County. I'm only talking about the rural appeals where we as commissioners really have a hands-on from the very beginning. We had 110 appeals that came in, and usually all those 110 would be set for a hearing. But because of the telephone status conferences, over half of those were set for mediations. So there's an incredible effect right there with the mediations. And then finally, because of those mediations being set, we went out and did mediations in March and April, and some of those in June. And whereas those resolutions through an initial hearing decision may not be concluded until November or December, those that settled in mediation in March and April, they settled at least 30% sooner than they did in previous years. So that's another efficiency there for the taxpayer, a sooner resolution. And there's a better quality outcome because that taxpayer and those assessor were involved in finding the resolution rather than a decision imposed upon them by a decision of the commission. And finally, the last one was the number of days from the first hearing event to the issuance and of initial hearing decision, which I've talked about, but there's another element to that. We were concerned that because we couldn't conclude them before the next valuation notice came out or the next Board of Equalization hearings for the next lien date in July and August, that we were circling ourselves, we were catching our tail as we were going around. This will be the first year that we had a 92% completion rate with our locally assessed property tax appeals. We only have, out of the 110, we only have 13 that will not be done by the end of September. And that means most of the Board of Equalization hearings are done in October. And 9 were put on hold because they had appeals for prior years that were at formal hearings. And 4 didn't settle at the mediation. They went forward to a formal. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, and I appreciate everyone listening to all those numbers, it was to say that because you always talked about what is the quality service to our taxpayers, we were able to pick a place that we as commissioners wanted to see if we could make a difference. And it's just one place. There's many places where we can make a difference. But I think we are able to show that we made a difference for taxpayers with the locally assessed property tax hearings in our rural counties. I want to acknowledge all of my fellow commissioners. The first person to step up and do a mediation was my fellow commissioner, Michael Cragen, my fellow commissioner, Robert Perrow, went out with an ALJ this year and did several days of mediations. We had an administrative law judge, Carrie Chapman, that did a week long with me in a rural county that took just an entire week. And it's just made a difference that everyone was willing to step up and try this new procedure. And I think we've shown that together we've really made a difference for the taxpayer. And I want to finally just thank again our executive assistant, Krista, who worked with me so carefully to get these TSTATs scheduled and to help me track this so I could give you this information here today. And just looking forward to having us continue to do more mediations. And the last part is, for the last 2 years, because of the dialogue, it looks like we might have Salt Lake County come in and start doing mediations, and they have by far the most number of locally assessed property tax appeals. We're looking at actually designating a room here on this first floor as a mediation room where we can do those mediations with Salt Lake County. And that could just be a tremendous step forward for our taxpayers. So, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to share that with you because I didn't know that you'd have any other opportunity to hear that, and I appreciate your support and encouragement as we continue to do that. Thank you.
Any questions for Commissioner Dixon? Commissioner Cragen, do you have anything?
I don't think so.
Commissioner Pierre?
Well, I was going to talk about our Healthy Utah Challenge, but Scott already did that for
me. Well, take a minute.
I would like to say the committee that we put together was absolutely fabulous. And because of what they've done, we ended up second And we didn't even have a committee when we first started this. And we were handed the challenge a little bit late. It was actually into it already. It was a 10-week challenge. But they rose to the occasion. And let me just tell you who was on the committee. Sheldon Wood was the co-chair with me. And then we had Krista Johnson, Charlie Roberts. Krista, if I leave anybody out, you help me here. Randy Farnsworth, Craig Sandberg. Sheldon. Didn't I say Sheldon? He's a co-chair. Brad Simpson, Deborah Ross, Heidi Westbrook. Is that all of them, Krista? And each one kind of did a separate function, and together.
Alan.
Oh, yeah, Alan. Well, he only came to a few meetings, so. But there was, if you went out to Healthy Utah, they had a five-part challenge thing in there. Part of it was for the 10-week challenge, and part of it was for an ongoing Healthy Utah. And we picked parts in all five parts there that were for the 10-week challenge, and we came out second. I mean, I never thought we would pull that off, but we did. And I'd just like to compliment the committee for all their efforts. As a result of it, I mean, I never used to walk the steps. I thought, I ain't walking them steps. Now I walk them every day, and I see you can't walk them without seeing people on the steps. At one time, we put signs up the steps, and we took them down, and I had employees tell me, put them signs back up. So we did. So people that are walking the steps can actually see what they're doing. Charlie came up with Hoof the Hood, and we ended up with three routes where if you wanted to go do a walk, either on your break or at lunch, you could do a 15-minute, a half hour, and an hour, and go half mile, a mile, and a mile and a half, and that's worked out well. So I think as a result of everything we've done, it's kind of stimulated Healthy Utah. So thank you.
Hey, well, thank you for your work on that. And I remember one of the first signs that I saw was that you burn five times as many calories going up the stairs as you do riding the elevator. So I've started riding the elevator five times as often as I used to. I'd also like to thank Commissioner Dixon for her excellent work on the mediation program. I think that's really remarkable, and I'd also like to thank Krista as well for all of her work both on the mediation program and on the hearing room. She accomplished that in addition to all the other things that she does on her day job. So that was. And I would also like to thank Commissioner Dixon and the rest of you for those kind words. We'll have an opportunity to say a few things this afternoon, but I do want to go on the record here in a public meeting and saying what a great honor it's been to spend 16 years at the Tax Commission, surrounded by really great people who are trying to do the best they can for the people of Utah. And I think we're more cognizant than anyone of the sacrifices that people make to pay their taxes in many cases, and it's gratifying to me that so many people are trying so hard to make sure that they pay only the amount of tax that they're supposed to pay, and that the money that they spend and that the money that's appropriated to us is well spent in their interest and not extravagantly. And we've just got a lot of great people at this agency, and it's been an honor to be associated with you. And I will also say that anything that I've been able to accomplish at the national level has been with a lot of support here, and tremendous support from the executive director, Rod Morelli, then Barry, and of course Scott, and the other commissioners. I could do things that other top tax administrators couldn't do because I had so much support back in my own state, people who were really doing the hard work of running the agency day to day. And so it's been a great pleasure. And with that, I think we're at the, I'd accept a final motion.
Move that we adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chris, I need a, oh. Okay.